Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, My Feelings Are Hurt, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, what is my responsibility for my direct's feelings? What do I do when feelings are hurt? And how do I give feedback when someone has hurt someone's feelings?
Folks, this topic you're listening to, My Feelings Are Hurt, can be problematic in the workplace. And one way to improve your relationships and reduce the chances that your feelings are hurt and other people's feelings are hurt around you, usually unintentionally, is to come to our Effective Communicator Conference. We've all had situations where we said something that was innocent and it ended up being hurtful. And that's often because we don't understand that other people communicate differently than us. And we need to learn how to change our behavior to have effective relationships with people who are different than you. Most people who attend the ECC say it was the most interesting training they've ever attended. We've gotten national awards for it over the years, and it will make you really think about the relationships and how often you think about yourself rather than about the other person and how they're receiving your information. So come to the website and check out the Effective Communications Conference, or as we call it, the ECC.
Okay, that takes us then to the action. That is, for us as managers, how to give feedback about hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. That is, what do we as managers do when one of our directs claim that someone else has hurt their feelings?
If you've been with us for a while, maybe you're a longtime listener, you probably remember the first thing that we recommend you do here, which is ask, have you talked to her? Have you talked to him? Have you talked to them? This comes first because if managers are not responsible for others' feelings, because no one is, then we managers oughtn't be trying to solve the problems that feelings create. Ask your directs to talk to one another. We'll cover some techniques to teach others how to do this in a future cast. Mm-hmm. Ask your directs to talk to one another. Typically, when we ask if a direct has talked to a peer about their hurt feelings, the answer is no.
Typically, it's not. Yeah, they're like, no, I have not talked to them.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens a lot that when feelings are involved, a lot of professionals, not professionals are outside of our purview here, although I do think this statement applies to humans in general. Mm-hmm. Many professionals don't think they are equipped with the tools to confront someone else. And confront being the word that maybe the connotation is appropriate. I don't know that the denotation really perfectly matches. It's not necessarily always a confrontation. It could be a discussion.
Yeah, just a conversation.
You hurt my feelings.
You hurt my feelings. Yeah, that's not a confrontation. But we describe it that way, right? We feel like it's a confrontation, like us speaking up or saying something to this peer who's done or said something that we perceived negatively. We feel like that's going to turn into this whole blow up, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's beyond our ability to step in and say something.
And I have to say, from my perspective, and perhaps it's just my experience or my profile or whatever it is, my feeling on it, my understanding of it is, if I have hurt your feelings, I can think of only twice in my entire life when I intended to be hurtful to someone's feelings.
Yeah. We almost never do that.
No. So, and it was in my personal life, right? It wasn't in my work life ever. So if you're thinking of this, the talking to the other person part, as a confrontation, I want to back you up from that assumption just for a second, because if you know people who are professional, who are ethical, I would assume that most of the times when people's feelings are hurt, it was absolutely unintentional. And so you're unlikely to get a confrontation in that discussion. It's going to be, hey, you hurt my feelings. And then I can imagine myself just dripping apologies because it was not an intentional thing. And it may be, okay, there's some defensiveness. But again, if you state a thing and someone becomes defensive, again, I don't know that that's a confrontation either. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, wow, like we're suggesting they talk to them. Yeah, we are. We're suggesting that you approach that person and have a discussion. And it doesn't have to be a confrontation necessarily. And we'll talk more about this in future guidance as well.
Absolutely. So if our direct has not talked to the other direct, that is, I come and tell you, hey, my feelings were hurt. Boss, can you do something about that? Have you talked to them? No, I've not, which is common. That's usually the case. Mm-hmm. When that happens, it's time for us then as managers to make a decision. We need to take care not to have our role power rented or borrowed by this offended direct, mm-hmm. right? Them attempting to have us with our role power step in, intervene, and correct the other person, that is an insidious path to walk for multiple reasons. We'll then have directed, if we fulfill this, right? We go ahead and intervene and fix it for them, I suppose. We've directed organizational resources to solving someone's hurt feelings, right?
Yeah.
We have, right? We've then essentially taught our direct that they can create problems at their level, but then to bring them to us and we'll just solve them at ours. And it's fine as a general rule, only if it's a rare exception. That is, for many obvious reasons, the most obvious of which is cost, right?
Yeah.
Additionally, this solving problems for other people goes a step further. Other than wasting costs, causing us more work to do,
time,
fixing
energy.
Problems that, yeah, exactly, time management, solving problems below our level, it also stunts the development of our directs at solving their own problems.
Yeah. Sorry, I totally interrupted you. I got too excited. How will they be able to solve problems when they are you, when they reach your level, if they haven't done it before?
Right.
They have to have some experience. And if we remove that experience from them, they won't have it in the future.
Right. What will they do then when their directs come to them and say, hey, solve my problem, boss? They're like, oh, yo, I don't even know how to solve my own.
Not only that, if they have to do it and they will believe that they have to do it because you did it and you set an example, then they'll have to use their role power, which is the weakest of their powers and also detrimental perhaps to their results and relationships.
Absolutely.
Managers be warned.
Exactly.
This is the part where I get
feisty.
Yeah. Let's assume, okay, that they've talked to their air quotes assailant. And no offense intended. You know, this is the characterization that they've brought to us. And they've talked to that person and they haven't resolved the issue. Okay. Now, the next thing to do is teach our direct to use the manager tool's peer feedback model to address their colleague. I get a little cranky here because it frustrates me that the assumption is that the person whose feelings are hurt cannot solve their own hurt feelings problem, right? Y'all, we're talking you through what to do, and the autonomy here, the professional adult behavior would be for them to decide to feel differently about the situation. I think that's where I get frustrated. I rarely take my feelings to other people because it's not their fault. It's not their responsibility. And so when other people bring their feelings around, and we talk—
It's tricky.
Yes. And I guess it, for you and I, right, it's a bit different. We, Sarah and I talk a lot about leave your feelings at home under the bed where they belong. We know that people have them, though. So
yeah, they do. They have them around me all the time.
Yeah, around us all the time. So we're going to ask our direct, teach our direct to use the peer feedback model to address this colleague so that they can learn to solve their own problems with their own skills rather than escalating these problems regularly.
Exactly. Now, folks, there's a podcast for this.
Yeah.
Note, there's a podcast for the peer feedback model. So briefly here, the peer feedback model sounds like this. Hey, when you do X, this is what happens. And then also at the end, perhaps, I thought you ought to know, or I just thought that might be helpful. Now, this differs from the manager tools feedback model that we would deliver to our directs in that we don't ask first because peers aren't each other's bosses and This feedback is more of a suggestion.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just bringing this to your attention. I thought this might be helpful. I thought you might like to know. It's a suggestion as opposed to a management tool. It's without the entanglement then of role power. And we also don't ask for a change then at the end of the feedback if it's negative, which it usually is.
Yeah, in this case.
In this case, yeah, definitely is. But we don't ask for a change at the end. We use the peer feedback model to make others just simply aware of things. Mm-hmm. That's essentially, as peers, the extent of our abilities in this case. And one can see that the better the relationship we have, in turn, the more likely we are to have an effect on their future behaviors.
Yeah.
That is said differently. If I'm making a suggestion to a peer with whom I have a negative, a poor lack of a relationship, the chances that they're going to change their future behavior, which is what feedback is always all about, is extremely low.
Yeah. And okay, if we're thinking about the manager tools, the managerial feedback model, the feedback is delivered politely. And this comes into play here too. We deliver this input feedback politely, without tension, without rancor, in a positive tone.
Yeah.
With a positive facial expression, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Not an attack.
All feedback is about influencing future effective behavior, not punishing past behavior or reliving it or making somebody else feel something.
Mm-hmm.
There's genuinely nothing we can do to change what has happened in the past. And so the purpose of feedback is to affect the future. It's about the future. And if you're struggling, if you're having trouble presenting this to the other person in a like positive way with a positive attitude, it's gonna get pretty Darth Vader in here, guys. The best way that I found to do this differently then is to think about to yourself, if I was to share with this person what I'm about to share, perhaps it wouldn't happen again, and that's a positive thing. That's the way to put yourself in the mindset of, I'm going to share this and it's going to go well, and I could do it with a positive attitude and tone and facial expression and such.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that positivity, we're hoping would extend then to the recipient. However, if a colleague, again, using the peer feedback model, defends themselves or their behavior, we then, as we would with the feedback model, avoid discussing what's already happened.
Mm-hmm. Right?
To Kate's point a moment ago, this is about the future. So suppose in this case, Kate had said to me, hey, dude, when you interrupt me like that, after you ask my opinion, it gives me the impression you don't care about what I think. I just thought you'd want to know. And then I respond with, well, you were getting off topic and just restating your same darn opinion, so I kind of had to. In that moment, Kate's best response would be to say, well, I just wanted you to know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't recommend, based on our data of tens of thousands of these types of interactions, that Kate then discusses what she did or how or why, etc., thus defending herself from my negative retaliation, I'm going to call it.
Right.
And we don't recommend it because A, that would make the challenge, my challenge to her feedback, the purpose of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not about the future. Now it's about that retaliation. And additionally, it would make our conversation then about the past rather than its clear intent to influence my future behavior.
Mm-hmm. The whole issue of hurt feelings makes feedback, managerial or peer, a little more difficult than other types of issues and outcomes, which is because, as you may have discovered, when people's feelings are hurt, their characterizations of the interaction are, I want to say, inaccurate. Another way to say it is rife with supposition, inference, mm-hmm. these assumptions that are really not helpful to a manager determining what to do.
They're not behaviors.
Right.
They almost never bring you behaviors.
You get characterizations, abstractions, yep. not euphemisms, but that kind of like, I've smushed all these
perception
things.
Perception of motivation and intent. I mean,
interpretations for interpretation. Sure. Let's say, for example, okay, let's say one of your directs, Salvatore, comes to you and says, you got to talk to Claire. She's rude. She's in my face. She's making me uncomfortable. Okay. We hear conversations with words like these all the time. They
yeah,
happen
so do you. Constantly. Out there. You're hearing them constantly.
In all organizations, everywhere. And they're at the heart of the problem. If we're being honest, there are no behaviors in the accusation against Claire that Salvatore has brought to you. Rudeness?
No.
Characterization. It may or may not be based on legitimately rude behavior. He may be saying that she interrupted him. When in fact,
right.
there's a chance that some people don't feel that interruption is rude.
Right.
In my face, that's unactionable because it's not behavioral as well. And what's happening here is all these things, oh, she makes me uncomfortable. Well, okay, your discomfort is an emotional state.
Yeah.
So we're talking about interpretation. We're talking about feelings, none of which is behavioral. These are all characterizations from the point of view, the emotional point of view of Salvatore. If you try to solve this problem with only this level of information, you'll inevitably fail, as will Salvatore, if he simply repeats these things to Claire.
Totally.
You might as well, if in terms of effectiveness, go to Claire and say, you have a bad attitude, and then wait for the inevitable, no, I don't,
no,
response
don't.
That Claire will share with yeah. you.
You're rude. No, I'm not.
Because people don't go around trying to portray a bad attitude or be rude.
They don't.
They're going to argue with you because if they believed that their behavior was rude, they probably wouldn't engage in it.
Exactly.
I don't know a lot of people who, if I say, raise your hand if you've done something that was interpreted as rude, wouldn't raise their hand because that happens a lot. Interpretation is one thing. And then if I said to you, okay, keep your hand up if you meant to be rude, I find that that's very rare.
Yeah, very rare.
People don't usually mean to be rude.
Hey, folks, I have a special announcement to make. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we'll be releasing an executive tools cast that we're also going to release to the general listening audience on manager tools. And the reason for that is because it's so interesting. I talked to Trevor Woods for a couple of hours, actually. Trevor is the CIO of the University of Sydney, and he explains their organizational response to the pandemic in early 2020 and carrying on for many months thereafter. And he led both a departmental and an organizational war room, and he talked about what it's like to run a war room as an executive, representing the entire organization. Is fascinating stuff. And frankly, I admit that I'm releasing it to the Manager Tools feed so that more of you who aren't licensees will be motivated to become a licensee so you can get access to executive tools, which are by far our most popular cast in terms of the emails I get responding and asking questions about it and so on. But you can only get executive tools if you're a licensee, except for this cast about Trevor Woods as the CIO of University of Sydney. I look forward to hearing from you about what you think about it.
So we got to get to behaviors.
Yeah, we got to get to behaviors. That is, Claire can't change Salvatore's response to her behaviors. Only Salvatore can, mm-hmm. if you're wondering who. All she can do is change her behaviors. When we try and get to behaviors, we discover that quite often, when we dig for what actually happened, rather than the sharing of feelings, we get very little help from the complaining direct. We've heard from many managers who've asked us, what do I do when I try and get behaviors? And the direct then replies, what does that matter? I don't like the way it makes me feel. You need to go talk to them. How is the behaviors even relevant? I felt attacked or I felt uncomfortable, I guess is Salvatore's. I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Why do her behaviors matter?
When emotions are involved, getting to behaviors is harder. And it's compounded by a trendy kind of organizational behavior where organizations are sort of proclaiming, in some cases, that they are safe spaces.
Yeah.
That declaration has led, or it's grown into an opportunity for colleagues who are not self-secure to expect others to change to satisfy their feelings of insecurity.
Yeah.
Which is just a stony path to hell. I mean, look, while everyone deserves a workplace where there's no disrespectful behavior, that does not mean that all people feel safe at all times. It doesn't mean that you're not going to feel stress. It doesn't mean that you're not going to feel worry. It cannot, because there is no way to establish a situation where all people feel secure. Because what makes one person feel insecure and another person feel insecure, and I don't mean emotionally insecure, I mean like insecure of their position or things like that, right? That environment does not exist. One person's cozy space is a different than somebody else's. And it's also, again, like fully not within the purview of organizations. If you're wondering how bad it is, recently there was some articles about a Yale student,
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
I just like, there's an assumption of a level of intelligence and proficiency associated with that university. A Yale student complaining that the ending of daylight savings time in the autumn made him feel victimized. I'm sorry, Pard.
Right?
I can't fix it.
I can't fix it.
It makes no sense to me.
I feel victimized by the keeping of it.
Right?
So now what are you going to do, Yale? Now what are you going to do?
Yeah, I bet you even too. I bet you most of our company feels like victimized by it. I know Cassie doesn't love it.
I know. If you don't know, she lives in Phoenix and they don't change times, which means sometimes meetings are dreadfully awful
yeah.
in early in the morning.
Well, and just the back and forth, like when everybody moves around you so hard.
It's confusing. I mean.
So we can't fix it and organizations can't either. Organizational guarantees of a workplace of respectful behaviors doesn't mean that there will be an absence of hurt feelings for all people.
There won't be. Exactly.
Impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah.
So how do you then get to behaviors? First, if you're hearing about someone else's feelings, say Clark is telling you about Salvatore's difficulties without mentioning Salvatore, but naming Claire, get Clark out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of the problem. And Salvatore doesn't get to use a go-between because he's uncomfortable even thinking about it, according to Clark, right? That you get a third person can't then interject into the situation and defend someone from another person. I mean, it just gets wholly complex and you're never going to get to behaviors in these situations.
Right? There's no Clark.
Yeah. There's just no space for protecting resources or anonymous input or go-betweens.
Yeah.
This isn't diplomacy or journalism or police work on a legal case.
If it was, we might be easier to get to behaviors. So we tell Clark this. Here's your script, right? Actionable. Clark, I'm sorry. And I won't be taking action on this just based on your coming to me. First, whomever you're speaking for has an obligation to come to me directly. Mm-hmm. The fact that you're protecting someone while naming someone else, unless the situation is far more heinous than you're suggesting, is unprofessional. How would you feel if I approached you and told you that someone who is going to remain anonymous told me through another anonymous third party that you made them feel uncomfortable or worse? You would want to know who it was to assess your own actions. And the fact that it was coming from me would mean there's a possibility of sanctions involved.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a sexual harassment case, unless you're telling me that it is, in which case, different discussion. Whomever you're speaking for needs to either talk to the person with whom they're in conflict, and if they don't know how, I could teach them how, but I'm not going to do it through you, Or they can come to me and I'll try to help them directly if it is warranted. Regardless, I want you out of the middle, Clark.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That wrinkle aside.
Sure.
That is. Now we've got Clark out of the middle.
Yeah.
Here's what we would say to Salvatore after then he turns around and reports his hurt feelings to you directly because, bye, Clark. Salvatore, I'm happy to tell. First, the best way to handle this is for you to give some peer feedback to Claire. It may be uncomfortable talking to her, but that's the first and best way that these solutions resolve themselves. And discomfort is sometimes necessary, just like the stress of deadlines and the fear of failure. The best way out of a problem is through it, usually. I'm going to walk you through the peer feedback model that is well tested. I'll also explain about what behaviors are and aren't. Once I've done that, I'll ask you about what happened. Usually what happens in these situations is that it's hard to get to the actual behaviors of Claire that caused this rift. But if you can't, it's inappropriate to still go forward and say to any colleague, you hurt my feelings, without helping them at least understand what they said and did. You can't just say, for instance, I don't like the way you talk to me, because that doesn't give Claire any way to address whatever it is that she did. In fact, that's just a different form of attack on her, which you're already accusing her of. And to be clear, if you're not willing to go and do the hard work of preparing for a professional conversation with Claire by getting to the behaviors, I can't in good conscience talk to Claire either. I understand you're perhaps uncomfortable. I'm sensitive to that. And going through some discomfort to help a colleague is worth it.
And because we've already covered this ground in part one, we do encourage you to recommend that your direct listen to our peer feedback model podcast.
Absolutely.
In order to assist them. Now that you have a script, they also will need a script. And hey, guess what? It's in the peer feedback model podcast.
It totally is.
Hopefully this has been helpful to you because hurt feelings can be a minefield for a manager.
Mm-hmm.
By focusing on behavior and expecting directs to solve their own problems, we're going to get a lot further than if you are always playing the feelings sheriff for your team.
Uh-huh.
Especially.
I want to be that person.
No. And if I do have to be that person, I want a badge and it better be awesome.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a director who expects you to keep them from ever getting their feelings hurt. This is true more than ever in the 21st century. And so we hope today's been helpful.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, y'all. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, guys.